This is session number 24 of the Gospel according to John. Come to John chapter 3, and we're in verse 19. By God's grace, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Powerful scripture, very important truths to lay hold on. Many people have not and will not acknowledge verses 19 and 20. Much of the world. But sadly, many people who are Christians, or at least consider themselves to be Christians, have never really acknowledged verse 21. This is a great example of a scripture where a false balance is abomination to the Lord. Okay, one thing God hates is when people swing to extremes and only lay hold on quote-unquote half of the truth, but reject the other half of the truth. And there's a lot of that that goes on. The devil is the master at drawing people away to extremes based on their own deceitful hearts. But we, as people who want to be real disciples of Jesus Christ, who want to actually follow him and love him and serve him and do his will and hear his voice and walk with him, those of us who want to be these kind of disciples, we can't just hear half the truth. We can't fall into the ditch on either side of the road, but we must walk that straight and narrow path. We must walk his way because he is the way. So as we look at these three important verses, let us be sure to hear all the truth and to believe all the truth, not just the part that we naturally like. Amen? Okay, so Jesus has just revealed that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must he, the Son of Man, be lifted up. The reality that there's no hope for us apart from Christ being lifted up on that cross and Christ being lifted up from the grave. And Christ being lifted up from off the earth back into heaven on the right hand of the Father. There's absolutely no hope for us. But praise God, he did all those things. He is all those things. And because of that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. We need to believe in eternal life. I think for too many of us, we think eternal life is just when we die, we're going to heaven. And we don't believe in it. We don't really get it. We don't lay hold on it. I think Paul told Timothy to lay hold on eternal life. To lay hold on it. We really need to believe in eternal life and lay hold on it. We need to believe like John revealed by the Holy Ghost, that when you believe on Christ, when you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, that the Son, it's really the Spirit of his Son, but the Spirit of his Son, the Son comes and dwells in you. And if he dwells in you, you have eternal life right now because he is eternal life. And you don't have to wait till you die to experience eternal life, but you can have eternal life right now and walk in eternal life and love eternal life and joy in eternal life. And you can shine eternal life to those who are in darkness and are headed for death and hell. You can shine eternal life. And guess what? Life is stronger than darkness and death. We need to believe in eternal life. Believe that we can have it. And have it, and walk in it, and shine it, and love it. Man, if we really believe that, so many of the things that trouble us, and give us fears, and give us anxieties, would just be nothing. They would just be nothing. They wouldn't give us fears, and they wouldn't give us anxieties, because we would just trust in him. We would just know eternal life dwells in us. No matter what they do. No matter what gets thrown in my path, no matter what the future holds, I'm in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in me. And I'll sit in glory with him one day. And all these things are just temporary. Amen? We need that. And then I believe this is John giving commentary. This could be Jesus continuing his conversation with Nicodemus, but I believe it's John giving commentary, further expounding what Jesus began to reveal to Nicodemus, and reveals the fact that the Father sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And reveals that when you believe on him, you're not condemned. There's no condemnation. You're not condemned. And if we just continue in that faith and walk in that spirit, we'll never experience condemnation. Now, the truth is, the Father won't condemn us even if we walk after the flesh. If we walk after the flesh, don't get me wrong, there's consequences. There's fruits that we'll have to reap. There's things that will have to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. But there's no condemnation from the Father, because he condemned all of our sin, past, present, and future, in the flesh of Jesus Christ. That sin's been condemned. There's no condemnation coming from the Father. Now, what will happen when we walk in the flesh is our heart will condemn us, because our heart knows that we shouldn't be walking in this. Our conscience will condemn us, because our conscience knows that's not the way to walk. The Holy Ghost might bring conviction. He's not bringing condemnation, but he's bringing conviction under repentance. The Father will chastise us, but that's to bear the fruits of righteousness. That's not condemnation. And when you believe on him, you're not condemned. End of discussion. But if you don't believe on Christ, you're condemned already. There's no hope for you. All there is condemnation. Now in verses 19 through 21, John's going to explain what this condemnation is. In verse 19, he says, "And this is the condemnation. Why is it right for God to condemn men? Why is it right for God to condemn them to hell and to condemn them at the final judgment to be cast into the lake of fire? Why is this right? Here's why. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world." Light is coming to the world. Remember back in chapter 1, who's the true light? Who's the true light? It's the Word that was in the beginning, the one that was with God, the one that is God, the one that made all things. And in that Word is life, and that life is the light of men. In that Word is eternal life, and that eternal life shines unto men. And Jesus Christ, the true light, that lights every man that comes into the world. Jesus Christ, that eternal Word, he was made flesh so that man could behold his glory. He came into this world that was made by him. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, pure light, talking about pure holiness and pure righteousness and pure truth and pure goodness and pure faith and pure love and pure justice, pure judgment, and pure mercy. You're talking about everything's just pure. Pure patience. Pure meekness and humility. Light is coming to the world. And here's the condemnation. You know what it is? It says, "And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." You better believe. You better believe that God is absolutely right to hold the world under condemnation, and that if they continue to reject Jesus Christ, if they continue to remain in unbelief and fearfulness to man and wickedness of whoremongering of sins and perverse idolatries of covetousness, of all kinds of greediness, whatever their wickedness is, if they continue to hold to that and love that and continue in those things and hate the light and to love the darkness rather than the light, you better believe that God the Father is absolutely just in his condemnation. And when he condemns the world, he'll be just and every mouth will be stopped. Everybody will agree with the judgment of God. Nobody's going to stand against his righteous judgment. Nobody. This is the condemnation. Light, pure light, is come into the world. Jesus Christ, the Word of the Father himself, is come into this world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You kidding me? Are you kidding me? Those religious leaders of Israel And then the men and women of Israel who were too worried about what the religious leaders thought, that they would have rather had a murderer and a sower of discord and a liar and a thief and a mover of sedition named Barabbas. They would rather have him released and be in their midst than to have Jesus Christ, the pure, spotless Lamb of God, who desired nothing but good for them. They'd rather have Barabbas instead of Jesus dwelling amongst them. I mean, you better believe that God is absolutely righteous for his condemnation. Man, if you love a wicked man and a liar and a deceiver and a flatterer, if you love to be around those people more than a man of truth, you know what? You deserve condemnation. You absolutely deserve it. It's just. It's right. And here's the reality. Look at this. Verse 20. God wants to explain this to you so you can understand this. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. It doesn't say everyone that loveth evil hateth the light. Although he did say men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But I want you to understand this. When you do evil, when you sin against that conscience that was given to you by God so you can fit in with the crowd, or you can please people, or you can please your own lusts, and you can satisfy and gratify your own lusts. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's an absolute reality. When you continue in evil, you hate the light. You hate the light. You know how many people tell me they love God? You know how many people tell me that they love God, but the truth is that they hate God? You know how many people tell me they love Jesus, but the truth is they hate Jesus? Why? How do I know that? Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and in him is no darkness at all. And he just explained to us, John just explained by the Holy Ghost, that everyone that does evil hates the light. Doesn't matter what they say with their mouth. Jesus talked about a generation that drew near him with their mouth, but their heart was far from him. We have to get past looking at what people say and the lip service that they give. We have to start judging based on the way Jesus Christ told us to judge. He didn't say you're not supposed to judge. He just said judge not according to the appearance. We'll see that later in chapter 7. But he commanded us to judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgment looks at the deeds of men. It looks at the works of men. It looks at the fruits of men. It looks at the things that really come out of their hearts by their lips and by their actions and by their lifestyle. We're commanded to judge righteous judgment, and John is giving righteous judgment by the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, everyone that does evil hates the light. They hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. This is sad, but it's true. Now, by the way, let me just say this real quick. If you hate God and you hate Jesus Christ, even if you don't realize it, but you do, you're under condemnation. You're under God's condemnation. And what you are is you're the enemy of God. You're his enemy, and he's your enemy. Even if you don't realize it, that's how it is. John will explain in his epistles, and James will confirm it, that if you love the world, not talking about loving the world and wanting them to be saved, I'm talking about if you love the things of the world, the ways of the world, the lusts of the world, the whole system of the world, if you love that, if you're enamored by it, if it's beautiful and attractive to you, you don't have the love of the Father. You're God's enemy, and God is your enemy. And I want you to understand something really clearly. The Father will overcome all his enemies. There's nobody who can stop the Father. He's above all. And I want you to understand something that the Father has already promised to his Son. You read the book of Psalms, read chapter 2, read Psalm 110. He's already promised, and he's made an oath to his Son that his Son will conquer every single one of his enemies. His Son will put all of his enemies under his footstool. His Son will dash through the kings in the day of his wrath. Nobody's going to overcome the Son. Okay, this is the Son of God. the one with absolute power to rule heaven and earth, given to him by his Father. He didn't take it from the devil. He waited, and he's waiting for it from his Father. And he's been guaranteed to overcome all his enemies. I want you to understand something, that if you're the enemy of Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ is your enemy, he will conquer you. You will not beat him. You cannot beat him. Do not make Jesus Christ your enemy. Do not make God the Father your enemy. You'll lose. You can't win. So here's what he said. Everyone that does evil hates the light. So if you do evil, if you walk in evil, then here's the reality. You hate God. You hate Jesus Christ. You hate the Spirit of truth. You hate the Word of God. Now, you might be in a religious system where you give honor with your lips to Jesus, and you give honor with your lips to God, and you give honor with your lips to the Bible, but that doesn't mean you really love Him. It doesn't mean you love those things. That doesn't mean that you love Him. Because He just said, everyone that does evil hates the light. By the way, if you do evil, it says that you love darkness rather than light. And so here's what he says. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now listen, understand, your only hope of salvation is you need to come to the light. You need to come to Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Father. And the Father is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So your only hope to get to the Father is through Christ. And Christ is the light of the world. And he just said, if you do evil, you'll never come to the light. You'll never come to it. This is why repentance has to come before faith. Because before you can be drawn to the Son by the Father, so that in the Son, through the Son, you can know the Father by his Spirit. Before that can ever happen, before you can enter that faith and receive that faith and come to the light and believe the light, repentance. As long as you're holding on to darkness, as long as you're holding on to evil and continuing in evil and doing evil, you can't know him. You hate him. You won't come to him. You can't come to him. Why? Because as long as you do evil, you love darkness rather than light. As long as you love darkness rather than light, you'll never come to the light because it's going to expose you. It's going to reprove you. Now that's the word he uses here, reprove. That's an important word. When you get later in this Gospel of John, Jesus Christ is going to explain that the ministry of the Comforter, the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Spirit of Truth to the lost is to first and foremost reprove the world of sin. Reprove the world of sin. One of the saddest things I've heard is there's a lot of people that are convinced that they are saved and that they are children of God, and the proof of their salvation, I've heard this from many people, the proof of their salvation, according to their own testimony, is that now when they sin, they feel conviction about it. And I'm going, I'm sorry, but that's not a proof of salvation. A proof of salvation is that you love the brethren. A proof of salvation is that you do righteousness now and you don't do evil. A proof of salvation is that you now from within your heart long for God, your Father. You cry out for God as your Father. He's no longer just God who's way out there, but now he's come to dwell within you and you love him and you rejoice in him and he's your Father. And you come to him to walk in his will and to please him. These are the proofs that you're saved. If the only proof you have that you're saved is that when you sin, you feel bad about it, you might still be lost and be part of what's called the world. Because Jesus said, the first ministry of the Holy Ghost to a lost man who's in the world. It doesn't matter if you're in a church house. You could still be in the world and be in a church house. By the way, back then, they had quote-unquote synagogue houses. They didn't call them church houses. They were synagogue houses. And Jesus said that they were the world and that they were the ones who were going to hate his disciples and persecute them in the synagogue. So the world can be in the church. So what I'm saying is if the only proof you have is that you feel bad when you sin, you might still be lost Because that's the number one ministry of the Holy Ghost, is to reprove the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. It's proof. If you still continue in evil and you love that darkness, even if you feel bad about it, but you're continuing in it, he says you won't come to the light. I know these are hard things to hear, but I'm telling you, we need to believe God's word, not the preaching we've heard for the last 120 years. We need to believe God's revelation. He just told you, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Then you say, well, then there's no hope for anyone, because we all are sinners. We've all sinned. Everybody's under the power of sin apart from Jesus Christ. We're all in darkness. Yes and no. Here's the deal. Verse 21, he says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now here's the reality. Everybody left to himself is in the darkness, yes. But God hasn't left us to ourselves. He has sent his word into this earth. He has sent his spirit into this earth. And he has sent ambassadors, preachers and teachers, evangelists into this earth to shine the light and to preach the truth. And here's what he says. Everyone that doeth the truth cometh to the light. Now remember, Jesus Christ is the light. That's where salvation is found. That's where faith is found. That's where forgiveness is found. That's where redemption is found. That's where healing of the spirit and heart and soul is found. That's where all these things are found, is in Jesus Christ. But you need to do truth, or else you'll never come to the light. But if you start doing truth, you'll come to the light. And guess what? Your deeds will be made manifest that they're wrought in God, that God is working in you. And here's the truth. This is why Paul, everywhere he preached, preached first repentance toward God, and then he preached faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why before Jesus Christ came to reveal the light, he sent John the Baptist to bear witness of the light. He's not that light, but he was bearing witness. And what did John the Baptist do? He preached repentance. He preached repentance. He preached, give up your evil. Stop doing your evil. Stop continuing your evil. Forsake your evil. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double mind. Forsake your evil and turn back to the living God. Turn back to the Word of God. Turn back to the living God. Turn back to the Word of God. Throw these things away that are consuming you and destroy you, and cast them behind you, and be cleansed and be renewed, so that when the light comes, you can believe in him. So that when the light comes, you'll come to him. That when the light calls you, you'll come to the light because you do truth. I'm going to say this, and people aren't going to like it, but this is what John just said. If you're doing evil, you can't be saved. You won't be saved. You won't come to the light. If you do evil, and then the Word of God starts to come to you, and your conscience starts to work with that Word of God, and those two are bearing witness, and the Holy Ghost starts to reprove you of your evil, and you cast your evil behind you and say, God, I don't want to continue in this evil. God, I want to turn back to you. And there starts to be a real repentance of the heart towards God. And you start to do truth, not just hear truth with your ears and just give lip service to it with your mouth, but you start to do truth. God's looking for those who will do his will. And the first commandment in this New Testament that goes through the whole earth in Acts chapter 17 says, but God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's the number one commandment. When John showed up, he commanded men to repent. When Jesus Christ showed up, he preached everywhere that men should repent. When Peter preached after Christ's cross and after his resurrection, he didn't say, just accept Jesus as your Savior. He didn't say, look at what Jesus did for you and all you got to do is accept it. No, he said, repent. And when Paul went everywhere on this earth, everywhere he went, he preached that men should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. See, this is called doing truth. And until you do truth, you'll never come to Jesus Christ. You'll never come to the light. Because he just said, as long as your deeds are evil, You love darkness rather than light, and you're under God's condemnation. Because if you do evil, then it's proof that you hate the light. Because if you love the darkness, you hate the light. If you hate light, you hate God. You hate Jesus Christ. You hate the Spirit of Truth. You hate His salvation. And so you know what? As long as you do evil, you'll never come to the light. But He doesn't say, he that believeth on the Son comes to the light. No, He said, he that doeth truth. And there's a commandment given to man before you can even believe on Jesus Christ. And the commandment first given to man is repent. Turn back to God. That's the first commandment. And those who will not do that, they can never believe the second commandment, which John opens up in his epistle, which is that we should believe in the name of His only begotten Son. You can't believe in Him. You can't come to the light. You won't believe in the light. You actually hate that commandment. There's an order to God's path. Hebrews 6 tells us repentance comes first before faith. Acts 20 tells us repentance comes first before faith. All through the Bible, repentance comes first before faith. You'll never come to Jesus Christ. You'll never believe in Jesus Christ. You can't know Jesus Christ until you first do truth. And the first truth God wants you to do is He wants you to look at your sin and look at Him. Look at God. Look at your sin and choose for the first time to hate your sin and to turn to God. To turn from your evil and to turn back to God, who is light. And when you do that, then guess what? The Father will draw you to the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He will draw you to His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you come to the Son and you enter that light, you'll believe in that light and you'll become a child of light. And you'll rejoice in the light because your deeds are not of your own power or of your own ability or of your own strength. No, that's the whole basis of repentance, is that it's not your power and it's not your strength and you don't have the ability. That's why you repent and say, God, help me. I hate these things. I don't want to continue. I can't do these things. I want You. I need You. And guess what? Then you'll come to the light, and it will be made manifest that those deeds, they're wrought in God. They're the work of God. Amen? This is the work of God. Repentance, genuine repentance, is the work of God, and it's a wonderful work. And we'll see in John chapter 6 that not only is repentance a work of God, but believing in Jesus Christ is a work of God. Faith in Christ is a work of God. What you're going to find out is, everything on this path of righteousness is a work of God in us. Amen? Listen, I'm going to read these verses again. And I'm asking you to please believe the whole truth. Please hear these words. Let them reshape the way you understand and the way you believe and the way you think. Don't lean on your own understanding of what you've been preached to by men and what you've been taught by men. And I don't care who they are and what their names are and how great they appear to be. Believe what God is trying to reveal to us in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Here's what He says. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, that's not all men. Because if it was all men, then none are saved. If it was all men, then nobody would come to Christ when He showed up. But there were men who came to Christ when He showed up. Simeon was there when he was just a baby and was waiting and longing for Him. You know why? Because he did truth. He didn't do evil. And Nathanael, as soon as he saw Jesus and heard Jesus, he just loved Him and followed Him. You know why? Because He did truth. He didn't do evil. So believe this. But here's the reality. There's two groups of men. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. I pray that everybody who hears this teaching, if you have come to the light and you are in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ in you, that the Holy Ghost will just give you great assurance and confirmation, and you rejoice in Jesus and Jesus rejoices in you. But if you've believed a false gospel, if you've been taught wrongly, and you've believed that you can continue in sin and continue to do evil, but you still really are in Christ, and if you're not in Christ, and you're someone who still does evil, and you never repented, you've never repented, you didn't even know about repentance, you thought you could just accept a personal Savior and just go to heaven one day, but there's never been any repentance toward God, there's never been any turning to the Lord, there's never been any stopping doing of evil and starting to do the truth as is revealed to you, then I pray the Holy Ghost will reprove you strongly of sin and expose to you the fact that you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Not only do you not believe in Him, but you hate Him and you won't come to Him. But that God will start to work in your heart to show you the fruits of your sin and that it hasn't profited you one bit. And that sin has done nothing but corrupt you and nothing but confuse you and nothing but make your life misery and hell. And that sin is leading you to death and hell. And that you would begin to hate your sin. And you would begin to separate yourself from that sin and throw that sin off and cast that sin away and say, God, please, I want you. I need you. Please, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God would begin to work repentance in your heart so that finally, you could start doing the truth and He could bring you to His Son so that you could actually believe in the Son with all your heart. Not just with lip service, think you believe in the Son, but actually believe in Him so that there'll be no condemnation to you. Amen. Hallelujah and amen.